Okay, so look, this one, we could have a long discussion about these things, but just to try to stay concise, the answer is going to be blood oxygen content, okay? So that's going to be equal to the amount of oxygen dissolved in the blood, the PO2, plus the amount of oxygen-bound hemoglobin. That is our blood oxygen content. Now, we can make arguments as far as PO2 is concerned. Obviously, if we keep respiratory rate constant at sea level, we'd have a higher PO2 as compared to high altitude. But we know that at a high altitude, the respiratory rate will increase. We'll get respiratory alkalosis. CO2 is blown off. And we can maintain that PO2 insofar as that respiratory rate is higher. So, yet again, or I should say, nevertheless, PO2 only accounts for a very small amount of oxygen in the blood overall, dissolved oxygen, very minor fraction. So most oxygen obviously carried on hemoglobin, and when when this woman goes to high altitude, she's going to get an increase in her EPO production, erythropoietin, that'll increase her hematocrit, and then she's going to come down to sea level, and she'll have more oxygen overall in the blood, greater oxygen content because she has more hemoglobin, right? So if you keep PO2 relatively constant, and now you've just simply increased your hematocrit, you've increased your hemoglobin, even though the saturation will stay the same, nothing will change in terms of the amount of oxygen actually bound to hemoglobin. It's just we have more hemoglobin. We have more RBCs that have been produced because of 6 weeks where EPO was increased. So that's what the answer is here, blood oxygen content. Choice B, Bohr effect, that refers to an increased ability for hemoglobin to unload oxygen at tissues where CO2 is increased. Okay, so at peripheral tissues, that increase in CO2 that's being released by those tissues, that is going to actually facilitate the unloading of oxygen from the hemoglobin. That's called Bohr effect. A Haldane effect is the opposite. At the lungs, where the CO2 is lower compared to the tissues, right? The CO2 is more easily able to unload from the hemoglobin. So it's essentially the opposite effect. You've got oxygen hopping on the hemoglobin at the lungs, CO2 hopping off. That's our Haldane effect. And then at the peripheral tissues, the CO2 hops onto the hemoglobin, the O2 hops off. That's the Bohr effect. You don't need to obsess over these terms, okay? They're more school of medicine type terms. But the USMLE, I'd be very surprised if they actually had Bohr effect or Haldane effect as answers. They're just more distractors here, in case you weren't sure of blood oxygen content. Now, buffering of protons by deoxygenating hemoglobin and chloride shift, these two go together. They're not related. This is a long discussion. Probably bore the shit out of you if I go into it. I will just briefly say that the buffering of protons by deoxygenating hemoglobin is actually asked on NBME Step 1 material. Okay, so sounds really pedantic. It is. It's a factoid. They want you to know that the pH of the blood in the normal range, 7.35 to 7.45. How do we keep it in the normal range so steadily? It's because of the deoxygenating hemoglobin that's going to be buffering protons. Now, what happens is at the peripheral tissues, we have CO2 coming out of those tissues. It's going to be floating in the blood, dissolved CO2. It's going to diffuse into the RBC cytoplasm. That CO2 will combine with water, form carbonic acid, H2CO3, that equilibrates into a proton and bicarb. The proton will then sit on the hemoglobin. It'll sit on the deoxygenated hemoglobin. That's the buffering right there. And the bicarb that's been produced, that's going to move out of the RBC into the plasma, and then a chloride moves in to balance charge. Once again, I know it sounds boring. It's not something you need to know so substantially. That whole chloride shift, it's good conceptually if you are aware of it. I think what I just want you to take home is this point of buffering of protons by deoxygenating hemoglobin. Just memorize that. Just have that in the back of your mind to be like, okay, I've heard of that, because that's what the USMLE will ask you directly. And then once again, just be mindful that blood oxygen content is the sum of the dissolved oxygen in the blood, the PO2, plus the amount bound to hemoglobin. Okay, that's it.